Accession number 28635, Reel 2.
Reel 2, Paul Ryan. So you flew from Thailand to Japan, obviously.
Yes, I went back to Bangkok and then I've got to fly to Osaka.
And in Osaka, where did you go and what did you look at there?
Well, I spent the first night in Osaka and then I started travelling down to Hiroshima. I knew I had to come back to Osaka to leave, so I thought if I have any time I'll look at things when I come back.
I would imagine it was very difficult to go to Hiroshima without some sort of preconceived ideas, but I wonder how, you know, it's very difficult for you to explain this, but I wondered how you approached that.
Yes, I definitely had my strongest preconceived ideas were about Hiroshima as a place, and I knew I was looking out the window of the train as we came into Hiroshima, expecting to have those preconceptions either confirmed or dashed, and they were definitely dashed, which I suppose in the end I was very pleased about, because I really liked Hiroshima as a city to be in, and it's the sort of city I could imagine living in. And that wasn't part of my preconception at all.
Did you wander around the city before going to the Memorial Museum?
No, I got off the train about 4 o'clock, and I checked into a hotel and went straight to the A Dome, and got there just as the sun was setting, and made a drawing of the dome, and that's I was sort of very conscious of doing that and feeling in a way that it was going straight to the object that had been designated, you know, the memorial for atomic war in general, in a way. So that was a bit different.
Yes, when you say the dome, could you explain that, what the dome is?
It's the building which was directly underneath the hypo centre when the bomb exploded, and I think that the reason it survived is the pressure pushing down on top of the walls meant that they could withstand it, whereas all of the buildings around it, the pressure was on the sides of the wall, so it stood very much alone after the explosion. And it was a trade hall, I think, when it had been built. I have got the details of the architect written down.
Is it sort of the skeleton?
That's right.
Of the dome?
Yes, yeah. It's the framework underneath the dome and the walls.
That alone must have been very impressive at sunset, the sort of skeletal outline of it.
Yes, and it has the metalwork is all primed with a pink primer, so it's catching the light and the sunset, and then against obviously the modern skyscrapers of the city behind. It is quite it's one of those sites, I suppose, that you do have an image of in your mind, and you don't know whether it's going to have any impact, but it does.
It's near the river, I think, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. I hadn't really got a sense of where things had happened, but the banks of the river haven't changed. I found that out later from looking at the photographs in Hiroshima, so when you're sitting by those stones, they're the same stones. I found that very interesting.
Did you gain any impression about, you know, the sort of general environment? Because the Japanese love trees, don't they? Mm. Old trees. And, of course, there's the castle there as well, with a lot of trees. Were you surprised in any way that of the age of some of the vegetation?
Well, the first thing I saw about that was a list of distances of particular species of tree from the hypocentre. So there were lists of, you know, cherry tree that was so many metres away, and an oak tree that was so many metres away, and you could visit them and they had their plaques that said what they were and how they've been treated, and they had various scars where they'd been burnt on one side and then grown around the scars. So yes, that linked in with the, as you say, the Japanese attitude to trees. And
also survival, the fact that vegetation had survived quite near, I believe, yes. Isn't it, the epicentre?
Yes. Yes, had survived, and very similarly to the people who survived, I suppose there were clear, visible indications of the consequences of the exposure to the radiation and the burns.
Was it your intention to see any of the people, you know, in this short?
I didn't. I hadn't arranged it. There were some people, survivors, showing groups around the museum, the Peace Museum. So I tagged along various groups, and there'd be a translator if it was an English-speaking group. But I didn't specifically arrange to see anybody or meet anybody.
I understand the Peace Museum generally, in the Peace Park, is a very big area, is that right?
That's right, yes.
Yes. What were your impressions, first of all, of the park and certain features of that? Did you do
well, drawings it seemed, of? Yes, I did. Well, I drew the dome mainly, and some pillars which were left, and the river. But I suppose my impression, the impression that I was given, was that it was a confined, although it's quite a large area, it's a very confined and specific area within the city, and the rest of the city to some extent has got on with things, rather than my impression of, say, Berlin, where everywhere you go there's some sort of memorial mixed in with the city. This seemed like a sort of, okay, well, this is where it happened, but the rest of the city is just going to get on with it.
Yeah, that's a very interesting contrast, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, the fact that it was all there in this one epicentre region, really, wasn't it? Yes, compared with Berlin.
Yes, well, I think it did go further, obviously, at the time, but it seems to be now that's very much, well, you know, it's to some extent separated from the rest of the city.
Yes, but was it very Japanese, you know, the decorative nature of it, the way it was done? Did you have it?
Well, less than I thought, actually. There were very organised fountains and pools with avenues of trees, which reminded me of sort of more European gardens. I mean, not like Versailles, but that sort of organised views, which I didn't associate with Japanese gardens as I had in my mind, say, from Kyoto, where there are more organic shapes, and they may be man-made and manipulated, but they're playing on organic organisation. This seemed very sort of linear and organised.
Was there any sort of representation of the number of deaths, you know, graves or anything, in the park? I wonder how that was. I understand there's a big mound, isn't there? A big. Did you see
I
that?
Don't remember that. I mean, I knew what the numbers were, but I don't remember anything which specifically is to try and get the numbers across. I remember in Nagasaki later on there was, as you went down into the archive part of the museum there, they had all of the names, which obviously gave you a sense of the number.
What was the overall impression for you related to war or anything else, you know, peace, or was there any other, you know, people often say with the, there's this huge controversy, isn't there, about the dropping of the atomic bombs on Japan, and a view is given that Japan has used this as to give them a sense of victimhood. I wonder if you have any thoughts of that.
I wouldn't agree with that. I think my impression was that it felt different because it was different. I mean, that the idea of the comparison, say, with Osaka later, where as much damage was done to Osaka through carpet bombing, and perhaps more as many people died. The reason it's different is that it happens in that moment, and it's just the one decision to make that happen. And also, one of the views which I found very interesting, which was put across by the Peace Museum, was that if those bombs hadn't been dropped on Japan, perhaps the world would have suffered a much more extended sort of nuclear war later. But because people had actually seen the consequences of bombs being dropped on cities, that people held back to some extent from getting to that point again, which I thought was remarkably optimistic, really.
Sort of demonstration, that if they were used, or that the perception that if there hadn't been a demonstration, there would have been a much more serious one.
Yes.
Rather than to use it on a defeated nation.
Yes, yes. I mean, the idea that you put forward of the Japanese presenting it to somehow adopt the position of victim rather than perpetrator. I certainly didn't get that impression.
So, going into the museum itself, the exhibits in the museum, did you do a lot of work there? Much work on the...
Yes, I made lots of notes from the text panels in particular. I found that interesting. And also, there was quite a bit of footage shown in Hiroshima of the railway. And there was a link saying that, this is what the Japanese had been involved in, and that to some extent the West links these events with the dropping of the bomb. So, that was put forward. My impression before I'd left, in terms of the media and the way that it's presented about whether the Japanese have apologised or not, seems to be one, official diplomatic way things are presented, whereas the museum and its staff and curators are seem to be capable of putting a more rounded argument forward.
And that's what you'd expect. There was that balance. Really. There was balance.
Definitely.
Within it.
Yeah.
How graphic was it regarding the sort of injury to people?
Very graphic. The exhibits included real body parts. There were some fingers which a mother had kept of her son, which had dropped off after they'd been burnt, and she'd kept them to show his father when he returned, which I think he didn't. And they were exhibited in a Perspex box.
Rather like you say, the ties had done, is that right?
Well, it relates to that, but very different somehow. There was, there seemed to be different reasons for doing that. Yeah. No, they struck me as quite different, actually.
Mm-hmm. What do you think those reasons were in the case of the Japanese and the ties?
Well, I think there was an issue in the Thai museums about whether those remains ought to be returned, in my mind, in that they weren't Thai remains, whereas these were remains of a Japanese child.
So who would the remains have been related to then?
Well, they claimed to be remains of Western prisoners of war, but it was a private Thai museum, and there was a sense of in some of the museums, in no way all of them, and some of them are sort of hope to attract more visitors. really, with more sensational exhibits, which wasn't the sense I was getting from this Japanese exhibit. That wasn't its function. I mean, these are my views.
The people wandering around the park and the museum in Hiroshima, would they have been, tourists, or were there a lot of Japanese there still? Children?
Yes, lots of school children. As far as I could tell, mainly Japanese school children. Coach loads of tourists arriving all the time. But also a park for people who work in the city to walk through and have their lunch as well. It was a park in that sense too.
I think there's a big Buddhist bell, isn't there, in the park?
Yes, that's right.
Yes. That can be rung by the visitors to the park, I think. Is that right? They can.
Yes, that's right. Yes, and I was aware as well that it was building up to these anniversaries, and I saw that later, how the bell was rung and used. So, yes, I suppose I didn't really interact with some of the sites in that way. I think obviously each person will pick up on the things which they respond to. I think for me, I was interested in anything that remained from the time, which I suppose the bell was an object which remained from the time, and also I was interested in what was being presented to me, and who'd made those decisions, and what those things were saying. And what I was making, obviously, I became more and more aware, as I said, of how I was also going to be contributing to that by doing an exhibition which would end up in the War Museum here.
So what sketches came out of that, or paintings, out of your visit? Because we'll go on to Nagasaki later.
Mm. Well, all sorts, really. Sketches of places... exhibits and lots of notes about my thoughts and my responses, and literal notes about the captions, and then some sort of doodles and subconscious scribbles, really, about things which were occurring to me. And I suppose if I felt the sketchbook was veering one way or another, you could very consciously change that by just adding a few quotes or a particular type of drawing to veer it back.
You were saying earlier about the ability and your awareness that with sketches you can manipulate them.
Mm.
Were you conscious of doing that, or were you just trying to give what was there when you were doing it? Leaving the manipulation perhaps till later.
Well, I think you can't give what's there. I think that would be, that would feel that you were really, you'd really fooled yourself if you thought you could give what's there. So in the end, you're either going to be unconscious and you're making notes and drawings and it's going in its particular direction, but you're not conscious of it. Or, that's going to happen to some extent always anyway. Or you're also going to... decide what it is you want to do and say and push it.
So what did you decide you wanted to do with the dome?
Well, the dome, if you look at an individual page, there are, it's a limited amount you can do. I wanted to make some drawings which were if you like, almost the sort of the tourist experience visiting a place like that. And the dome for me was the key thing that a tourist comes to see and take a photograph of. So I made a drawing which was, if you like, in inverted commas, a nice drawing of the dome.
And did you do others that weren't so nice?
Yes, there's lots of sort of more scrappy or more aggressive work, which I think is the sort of thing that perhaps, well, I think wouldn't be engaging with the tourist.
Am I right in thinking with the dome there were some steps with a shadow of a person?
I think the step with the person sitting on the step, the shadow is somewhere else, but there are I think there is a rock near there that has a mark on it that is possibly there's a sign saying it's possibly a shadow of somebody, but I think I seem to remember it was a step of a bank that somebody was sitting on. I seem to remember, yeah.
When you sort of left there, what sort of general impression? Were you moved by this or disturbed by the whole thing? Did it change your view, you know, having seen this museum and the park and what it represented and how it had been represented of those events in the war, the end of the war?
Well, I felt to some extent a little more informed. I think previously I would have said I didn't have a view, because I knew so little about it, whereas I suppose that, you know, we've talked quite a lot now, so I must have some things to say about it. But I just, as I said earlier, I think what worried me about the things I was seeing was the way that the causes were laid out, that this led to this, and this led to this, and this led to this, and that I didn't believe, really, and I thought this is too complex for us to fathom in terms of the causes that led up to it, and in that way, when any responsibility is positioned, I was very hesitant to believe in that.
End of Reel 2, Paul Ryan.